the Church of Jesus Christ is again getting some form of spiritual normalcy. And we thank you. It has been a slow journey. We don't know what's ahead. But what we do know is that you are with us. So speak now, Lord God, for we are listening. Speak a word of love and a word of hope and a word of forgiveness. Speak, Lord God. Be with us this day and take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your holy will. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so today I want to begin. My sermon title is God's Love is Non-Negotiable. God's love is non-negotiable, friends. And we have to remember that, and this text really reminds us of that, right? And non-negotiable means not open to discussion or modification, right? We cannot change God's mind. It's not open for discussion or modification. And I start with this story. It's called God Speaks Through Unlikely Person. And this is a story, it's a true story, and so let me begin. Henry Nouwen, it's a well-known priest, was a priest and a brilliant teacher at places like Harvard and Yale. Feeling led by God, he spent the last decade of his life living in a community of people with severe emotional, mental, and physical disabilities. Well known, he has written many books, right? That Catholic priest, and would end up dying, I believe, from cancer later on in life. It was an enormously healing time for him. In one of his many books, Henry tells a story about Trevor, a man with a severe mental and emotional challenges, who was sent by Henry's community to a psychiatric facility for evaluation. Henry wanted to see him, so he called the hospital to arrange a visit. When those in authority found out that Henry Nouwen was coming, they asked if they could have lunch with him in the Golden Room, a special meeting room at the facility. They would also invite doctors and clergy people to the special lunch, and Henry agreed. Right? Henry's coming, and they're going to have all the big shots in for lunch. When Henry arrived, they took him to the Golden Room, and what a name, right, the Golden Room, but Trevor was nowhere to be seen. Troubled, Henry asked about Trevor's whereabouts. Trevor cannot come to lunch? He was told, patients and staff are not allowed to have lunch together. Plus, no patient has ever had lunch in the Golden Room. By nature, Henry was not a confrontational person. He was a meek man. But being guided by the Spirit, here is the thought that came to Henry's mind. Include Trevor. We must include Trevor in his mind. Knowing that the community is about inclusion, Henry thought Trevor ought to be there. So Henry turned to the person in authority and said, "But the whole purpose of my coming was to have lunch with Trevor. If Trevor is not allowed to attend lunch, I will not attend either." The thought of missing the opportunity for lunch with Henry Nouwen, was too much. They found some way for Trevor to attend. When they all gathered together, something interesting happened. At one point during the lunch, Henry was talking to the person on the right and did notice that Trevor had stood up and lifted his glass of Coca-Cola. "A toast. I will now offer a toast," Trevor said to the group, and everybody in the room got nervous. What was he going to do? Then Trevor, this deeply challenged and sick man in a room full of PhDs, began to sing, "If you're happy and you know it, raise your glass." If you're happy and you know it, raise your glass. Nobody was sure what to do. It was awkward. Here was this man with a level of challenge and brokenness they could not begin to understand, yet he was beaming. He was thrilled to be there. So they started singing, softly at first, and then louder and louder until doctors and clergymen and PhD and Henry Nouwen were all practically shouting, if you're happy and you know it, raise your glass. Henry went on to give a talk at the luncheon, but the moment everybody remembered, the moment God spoke most clearly, was through the person they all would have said was the least likely person to speak for God. God has a way of using the most unlikely people. Amen?
Amen.
That's why God is using us. Because many of us here are very unlikely that God would use us. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, God's love is non-negotiable. And so this text that we read is not so much about vineyard and labor and the union, one would think. It is really about God's gracious kindness and God's non-negotiable love. It is set in a vineyard story because when Jesus was telling those parables, he would use what the community that was there to make the point, right? And so we reread the story, and when many people read the story, they often say what? What? That's not fear. But the story is not about fearness. Here's a story in summary. Yeah, there's a laborer. Jesus said there's a vineyard, and there is a laborers and somebody in charge of the vineyard, right? But he did say the kingdom of heaven is like this. So let's remember that. The kingdom of heaven is like this. And so here's the landowner. He gets up early in the morning. He goes out to get laborers, right? Early in the morning. He makes an arrangement with them. And they decide to come to work early. Then later on, he goes out again at about 9 o'clock, I think it says. And he sees some folks, they're not working. He says, do you want to work? They say yes. He brings them in. They begin to work because they were standing idly in the marketplace. And then around noon, he goes out again. He sees other workers. About 3 o'clock, he sees some more workers. And he brings them in. And he was not done yet. Then at 5 o'clock, he sees some other workers and then he brought them in. Now, here's the part of the story that people get a little bit confused with, where we have to ponder. People always talk about this parable. When he was going to pay them, he decided to pay them what, church? All the same amount, right? And he began by paying the last person first, right? The same amount. And people got angry. They were grumbling. What kind of savior is this? What kind of person is this? What kind of story is this? How can you do that? But you see, the moral of this story is not really about laborers and vineyard, as I said. It is about God's love and God's intention for his people. Because at the end of the scripture, what does it say? Jesus is going to say, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first and the first will be last. So friends, here's how this comes into our modern day context. Many of us have been in church all our life. From babies, we are here as, you know, you remember our brother who went home to be with the Lord. You know who I'm talking about, it's going to come back in a minute. Richard Wicks would say to me, he died at 90-something, and he was here all his life. He came to church in his mother's womb. Mr. Wicks used to tell me that, right? So he was here for 90-something years. And he, when he passed on to be with the Lord, he got his blessings, right? But the person who comes much later than him is still going to get blessed. You see, because Jesus promised salvation. His promise to us was salvation, that if we accept him as our Lord and Savior, we will be saved. He didn't say that if you accept me at 9 or 8 or 10 o'clock, you'll be saved. He says, if you accept me. So the promise of the wages is what? Is that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The promise is that salvation is freely given for everybody, no matter what time they come. Yes, it's better to come earlier, right? Because then you could serve God and worship God all your life. But we cannot stop the Lord from loving someone, right? Because we don't. And we can't stop God from saving them because we don't like them. Remember the story on the cross? Do you remember the story of the cross? When the thief was there, never served God all his life, but when he said to Jesus that he believed in Jesus, right? And he says, could I be with you in paradise? What did Jesus say? Jesus did not turn to him and say, how come you did not follow me all the time? He says, today when you die, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. Right? Today. It means that if you accept Jesus at the time of the last breath you're taking, and if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he will welcome you. And what he wants us to know, we should not be envious. You know what it means to covet? It says in the Old Testament. We shouldn't be envious that the Lord is blessing someone that we don't like, or just showed up at the church, or someone who we saw hanging in the bar 2 weeks ago and now they come to church and they're saved. We should be rejoicing. Amen? Amen. Amen. We should be happy. Or we saw somebody, a street walker, so to speak. I don't think they call them that anymore because now we're paroling the internet. But whatever it is, somebody who we see have lived a life that we don't think is up to our par or whatever we deemed as right and righteous, if God forgives them and welcomes them, guess what? We should rejoice. And the last shall be the first, because many of us who are the first who have been in church all our lives, sometimes we what? We walk away from God. We're just going through the motion. We're coming to church through the motion. And some folks come later and they're rejoicing and they're serving the Lord. So the moral of this story is that we understand that God is a generous God. He's a loving God. He's going to forgive every one of us when we seek him. No question. When we go to him with a humble heart, he is going to forgive us. And we should not be envious, we who are Christians. You see, the complaints of those who were carrying on, Jesus wanted to let them know, it's not up to you. The vineyard belongs to the Lord. The vineyard belongs to God, friends. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So it belongs to the Lord, and the Lord will choose to save me, choose to save you, choose to save somebody that you don't like. The Lord will choose to do that because the vineyard belongs to him. Amen, friends. That's good news for us. Good news, and that we should not be envious because God is generous. We should not be envious because God is generous. God bless whom he blesses, and God curses whom he curses. And I'm praying that God will bless all of us here today, always and forever. And so Peter, Paul reminds us in Philippians, he says, for there's an evidence that, you know, Jesus Christ died for us, that the Lord sent him, right? And it is God's doing. And salvation is freely given, my brothers and sisters. Salvation is freely given. Whether you get it at 5 in the morning, or you get it at 8 o'clock, or some of you barely get in at 4, whatever time it is. Some of us accepted Jesus when we were 12, and some of us are 60 and we're just really barely now saying yes to Jesus. Some of us are 80 and haven't said yes to Jesus. But when we do, he will accept us and welcome us in. Amen, friends. Amen. Is that the generous, loving God that we serve? And I'm so glad that nobody can negotiate with God about loving me. And I cannot negotiate with God about loving you. Amen? God is going to love you no matter what. Love us. Oh, isn't he just wonderful to know that he will open up the doors of heaven for us no matter what time we choose to come in. Praises be to God today. So that's the good news. The good news that our God loves us. And nobody can take his love from us. Amen. Will you give God a praise offering, friends? Amen. Amen. God loves us. He really does. Amen. Praises be to God today. What a generous God we serve.